privilege, amen, to see a brand new day in the Lord. I think people need to include that in their statement, particularly the saints. Amen. Blessing, giving honor to Christ, amen, who is the head of my life, thanking God, amen, for my brother, Pastor Gerald O, my producer, amen, and for running for Christ and all the different friends and saints. I say praise the Lord and welcome to another exciting training day. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's a blessing. Things are happening in the Lord, and I just thank God that I'm a part of it. You know, right now, here we are. What is this? February. Man, time is just clicking on. It is, amen, hallelujah, clicking on. But amen, if you remember this is February 2023, February 7th, amen. Then just anytime, just remember to pray for Turkey. I pray for Turkey, the saints in Turkey, amen, and in Syria. You know, the Lord put that on my heart. But we were taught to pray from east to west. And that's something that should be done daily. You know, because if you're grasping the reality of what it is to be a Christian, we possess the power in the earth. Amen. God has given us his power to use in earth. As I end every program with, and it's prayer, is God trusting you with his power. You know, he entrusted to us to be used, so we're not going to properly use it. But if we don't use it, that's improper. Amen. James 4:17 said, any man knows to do good and don't do it, that's sin. And believe me, sin of omission counts as much as sin of commission. Amen. But amen. Let's move on. Hallelujah. Just thanking God again. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this awesome privilege to come before your throne, Lord. Amen. To come in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you welcome us. We thank you for the price you paid for this opportunity with the blood of the Son, your Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto the death of the cross. Amen. Unto resurrection. And we thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit. Amen. To teach us and to guide us. Father God, right now we ask that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. Bless us to know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have, and the great and exceeding power you made available. Amen. Hallelujah. To those that submit and obey you. Hallelujah. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you to bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. You know, I have an upcoming speaking engagement, amen, at a local prison, amen. And with that particular event, I had to follow a theme because it's run by our church. But, and it's still, the Bible link is interlinked. And once you grasp it, it goes from being religion to understanding that you're walking and living in the power of God and how it impacts your life and others. You know, it doesn't matter what your station in life is. This works. One of the problems in our nation and in our world is that men and women try to do life without God. And I understand that because, see, this is the thing God wants us to understand. It's in our nature to think independently. But it's God's will that we think dependently upon him. And that's the main thing that he wants us to understand. You have his spirit. It knows what it is to be God. And the problem be when you try to be God without God. And but the problem is you're not omnipotent. You're not omniscient. And you're not omnipresent. See, this is what we are, the codes. We co-nition, co-nipotent, and co-nipresent. We derive power from God. There go, this is what this is about. This isn't, I'm not giving you, I'm not going to use a word that I might be inaccurate about. I was going to say colloquial. Anyway, I probably would have bit my tongue off. This is, I'm not just giving you religion. I'm trying to create a picture of something that is so massive and so awesome that we tend to look at it lightly. You know, when you talk about it, you think about who was responsible for the writing of the Bible. Man didn't come up with the Bible. If you read the Bible and studied it and analyzed it, as I have and many others have, you will come to a conclusion, man without God wouldn't have, we would not have wrote it in that manner. It wouldn't even have as many pages as it has. It would have been a whole different story. Amen. But God was behind what was written in the Bible because only he could know the end at the beginning. He know how this thing going to turn out. We're seeing today the manifestation of things that was written thousands of years ago. That's why we know we are in the last days of sin. That's what's coming. The last days of sin, not the end of the world. If somebody says the end of the world, correct them. The Bible says the end of sin. And then be prepared to identify in the Bible how you know it is so. You don't want to get caught out there talking ignorantly. I just believe. No, Peter said, be prepared to give every man an answer of the hope that lies in you. That's what the word says. He got that from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Bible said that the Holy Ghost inspired his writing. Amen. So what we're talking about, we've been talking about the covenant of God, and on YouTube our neighbor, why a covenant with God? Because God is God. We get an option. We can choose to have a covenant, not to have a covenant. Trust me, you want the covenant for a lot of reasons. Why you here and when you leave. Because if you don't have a covenant, you're going to go to a hot, stanky place forever. Forever. You know, I don't know if the lake of fire stinks as much as hell does. I don't know, because that's a different form of punishment. Hallelujah. You don't want to go to either one of them. Can you imagine the man in Luke, all the people that have died and went to hell are waiting to go through the white throne judgment to be cast into a lake of fire. That's horrible. They sitting down there smelling 6,000-year-old butt funk in heat. And you know heat and funk is a bad combination. And then going to come out, be judged, shown where you tried to pray for them, where you tried to witness to them, and they refused because they thought they could make it on their own. But listen, don't make that mistake. That's why I'm here. I'm here to help you. And then last week we were talking about the Davidic aspect of the covenant. You know, they call it the Davidic covenant, but it is a type and shadow of the covenant with God through Jesus Christ. In that we talked about the fact that we show where God made a promise that that covenant would be kept despite the shortcomings of all those behind David. And if you read 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Samuel, you will see they had a lot of shortcomings. As a matter of fact, we may get to one today, I believe, and that would be David's son Solomon. Last week we showed how David, despite being a man after God's own heart, got caught up in the flesh moment. You know, he had 10 wives and he wanted somebody else's. You know, this is the thing about life. You got to be on a constant guard. Now, we have all these experiences in the Bible as examples. We know the end. We know how it comes out, you know. And it's something that, but it is to illustrate what we are dealing with is not as simple as we make it out to be. You know, one is a lot of times we submit to these impressions of the Spirit, not realizing, particularly those outside the body of Christ who have never read the Word, not realizing there's a force, an intellect, that will try to guide us into these foolish endeavors, because he understands that once we do so, we diminish our power with God. And that's his goal, because when we stand in the power of God's might, we are untouchable. Satan can't do nothing with us. He can't do anything with us. All right. So we talked about David and Bathsheba, and then Bathsheba, David tried to hide the fact that he got Bathsheba pregnant. He ended up putting the contract on her husband, and then God outed him. You know, don't get upset when God outs you, because he will do it. Trust me. You know, I know guys for years try to wonder how they would be out there doing the slippery slide on their wives or the other way around, and they get busted. Well, God busts them. You know, somebody's always praying. If you don't, trust me, somebody is praying. I pray throughout the day. Sometimes I pray just to get on the devil's nerve, because I know it does, you know. But I start my day out with an hour, and then there's spurts during the day, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half hour, hour, if God say so, whatever you say. And that's how we're supposed to live our lives. You find frequently the Bible says, cease not to pray. That Jesus said, men ought to always pray. I believe that's in Luke 16. You know, and again, why? Because we carry the force of faith in the earth. We move things, you know. All right. So we're talking about here, we're coming to the conclusion, David then got caught up. They resolved the issue. The baby that Bathsheba had, did we talk about that? I don't think we talked about that. You know, not that it really makes a big difference, but, okay. I was looking for my Bible. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12.
Testing. Okay, Richard, if you can hear me, we are not hearing you. We've lost your audio. And so we need you to, if you can hear me, Richard, we've lost your audio. And so what I'm going to do is play a song, and you probably need to hang up and call back in. And I'll reopen your microphone.
Today. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new. Today. I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade. Today, today. Ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made. Ooh. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today, today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today. Mm.
outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. Cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now.
God loves like that, And I'm not surprised. Amen. So, but anyway, and that's what David said. He gonna go to that child. He knew that. Now, mind you, David, he's living in an era where there ain't no Bible, ain't no internet, ain't none of this that we have. He's getting it hot off the press from heaven. He's getting revelation knowledge. All right. So, we're going to go to, now, mind you, that this all started, one of the things that this particular aspect started with David, as you remember, decided that he, in 2 Samuel, he wanted to build a house for the Lord. And despite his love and his desire to do that and his willingness out of appreciation for what God had did for him and how he had blessed his life, God said, you can't do that. God said, your hands are too bloody. You know, that we have, you know, it is what it is. You know, some people, that's their life call. That's what it is to be. Some people are called to be in the military. Some people are called to be in law enforcement. Some people are geared to do that job. Amen. And so that's what David's called. So God said, your hand's too bloody. I'm going to let your son do it. Amen. And again, God gave him a promise that the king lineage would come through him and that it would remain. And this is a word I think we underestimate or really don't give great consideration to. Forever. Forever. Think about that. That means something is going to continue. Now, we tend to think that it's going to end when Jesus come back. Now, unless I miss it, forever and eternity have the same definition. So it's something that's going to continue. Now, we do know, if I'm correct, there were 39 kings that came through David, and king number 40 is guess who? Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we're going to go now to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and we're just going to briefly discuss. Now, again, we're talking about why I covenant with God, and the thing about it is that you got to realize how great God is. I mean, really think about an omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God that wants a relationship with us. And all these challenges that come about and all these situations that come about really is designed to help us to not underestimate who we are as a people. You know, I was thinking today as I was preparing another message for another situation. Remember, I told you I got a situation coming up where I'm going to be speaking, and it's about dealing with the Holy Spirit. Listen, all this covenant is about the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, David had the Holy Spirit upon him, okay? And back then, it wasn't full time. We have the Holy Spirit, those of us who have accepted Christ, amen, have received the Holy Spirit in us. That's a whole nother ball of wax. And then there's in and on at the same time. But what are we talking about? We're talking about the power of God. The fact that I haven't moved the mountain, the fact that I can't pick up my car or move my house, does not mean that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is a lesser spirit than the power of God himself. I know that's hard, but I can tell us that's not something that people perceive by the way we act. It took me a long time to gravitate to that. Then I begin to see why certain successful men of God behavior is the same, is the way that it is. They kind of stoic, but they come to realize what it is they possess. And the more you realize what it is you possess, you know, then you become more reverent of who he is in you. Really, you got to really understand who the Holy Spirit is. You get with God, and you can spend some days talking about it. He can spend some days sharing with you, because that's what this is about. Without the Holy Spirit, okay, which did not come to Jesus after Jesus' resurrection upon all men, we couldn't make this journey. I mean, let's face it, the reality, God has his standard and he will not diminish it. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. And when I first read that, I'm thinking, God, that's not possible. You know what? Just give it your best shot. Give it your best shot. Don't tell God. Don't see, we tend to want to lean to the weak. That's what we saw happen with David, and we're going to see that happen again with Solomon. But anyway, so David had a desire to do this, and that's because he come to reverence God, okay? Now, so God told him that he couldn't do it, but he didn't let that stop him from doing a collection. I wonder sometimes, anyway, what we got here? Man, this is different. Okay, now I'm reading out the Message Bible, so it's a little different. All right, so David couldn't build the temple. So what he did was collected what he needed to build the temple, and it was going to be awesome. I believe I read somewhere, if he built that temple today, matter of fact, that's one of the end time prophecies is the rebuilding of that temple. That thing will cost some billions of dollars. And guess what? When they get ready to build it, they're going to get the money for it. They're going to get the money easy and quick. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but anyway... So David charges Solomon to build a temple, and David ordered all the resident aliens in the land to come together, and he sent them to the stone quarries to cut dressed stone to build the temple of the God, to build the temple of God, the true and the living God, the only God. And I'm going to skip down. And David was thinking, So David's thinking was, my son Solomon is too young to plan ahead for this. But the sanctuary is to be built for God to be the greatest, the talk of all the nations. So I'll get the construction materials together. That's why David prepared this huge stockpile of building materials before he died. Then he called Solomon in, his son, in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, you know. And then he called Solomon, his son, and commanded him to build a sanctuary to God. And David said to Solomon, I wanted in the worst way to build a sanctuary to honor my God. But God prevented me, saying, you've killed too many people, fought too many wars. You are not one to honor me by building a sanctuary. You've been responsible for too much killing, too much bloodshed. But you are going to have a son, and he will be a quiet and peaceful man, and I will calm his enemies down on all sides, and his name will speak peace. And that is Solomon, which means peace. And I'll give peace and rest under his rule. And he will be the one to build the sanctuary in my honor. He will be my royal adopted son, and I'll be his father. And I'll make sure that the authority of the kingdom of Israel lasts forever. Amen. So, and David went on to collect all the gold, the silver, and everything. I mean, it was glorious. And, you know, it's amazing. See, people, they be tripping over it. I know they broke. They tripping over money. Believe God, when you get in league with God, according to his word, leave it to God to make the provisions. Now, most people live in this little tiny little square life, and they don't want to do what's necessary. But see, you know, I recently, just out of being, I was asked to do something to help go and clean out this garage, right? And, you know, I ain't had nothing to do, and I liked the person, and so I went on and did it. And as a result, I wound up with some brand-new, never-been-used-in-the-bag Chrysler parts, which I recognize. And they gave them to me, so I get to sell them. Hallelujah. I mean, it's some parts people need, too. Right? I never expected that. But anyway, so, you know, let God made a lot of time when God tell you go see Aunt Jenny. Go see Aunt Jenny. I know you don't like her because she kind of got issues, but go see her. Go see her because you don't know what broke her, Believe me, I've heard a saying once, and I really come to understand that hurt people. People have gone through some challenges, and so they have, sometimes they've gone through so many that they expect people to hurt them. And so they, as a defense mechanism, they tend to thwart people off of them. Amen. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. Chew on that fruit, and you'll be good to go. All right. So now we're moving on into the Solomon realm now. So David finished off, and I just want to read this. It just, I like David. David, like I said, David helped set me free, because you got to understand this life. I've met people, and that's how I minister to people, that, let's get the right book here, all right? And I remember, I know somebody, man, they was depressed that they lacked perfection. I got that way when I was in my third week of being saved, being delivered, and I wasn't perfect despite my efforts. You know, I was literally sitting on the curb, literally. Something I used to do as a little boy when I get upset. And I felt the presence of God sitting next to me, and he said, well, listen, if you take, give me 25 years, and if 25 years you still want to go back to the way you was, then, okay, I'll let you go. Yeah, it's been 45 years. See, God is that patient. If you don't quit, God don't quit. And if you don't see that in these stories, in these events with David and them, and where we are today, that says if we don't quit, because God knows how to be God. We're learning. And don't think you are, when you think you got it all together, well, he'll let something drop on you and you'll see you ain't got it all together. That's, man, I'm telling you. But it also here tells you why Paul wrote down, pray for those in authority. Again, I take you back to Zechariah 3:2. I seen somebody else preaching that too. Zechariah, Joshua the high priest, stand before the Lord. You're a fact. Satan himself goes after leaders. So if you see a pastor caught up in some stuff, before you criticize, ask yourself, did you pray? See, you know, because he goes after leaders. Because what happens? What do boxers go after when they fight? The head. What do snipers go after when they trying to kill somebody? The head. The head and the heart. That's what they try to kill. And because if you do those, I came from a church where the pastor died, man, and it had a major impact on people and how they would receive the next pastor, who I greatly appreciated. You know, I'm like, better him than me, but that's a tremendous responsibility to be able to prepare the kingdom of God. That's tremendous, and then when you prepare, a pastor prepares enemies for Satan, Satan's enemies. He hates them. So, I mean, leaders, that's it, man. Shoot, that's a tough office. Man, I have great respect for pastors. I don't care, folks. Man, you just stand up for everybody. No, I don't stand up for everybody, but I realize that they undersought. Some of them are more challenging than others, believe me. And some of them I think should be beat with a whip, but I don't get to make that call. God does. Okay. So just we're going to read a little epitaph of David. And David, the son of Jesse, ruled over Israel. He was king 40 years. That's a long time to not be elected. Anyway, he ruled from Hebron 7 years and from Jerusalem 33. He died in ripe old age, full of days and wealth and glory. And his son Solomon ruled after him. All right. And hallelujah. You know, that's the end of David's there, but he's in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you'll find when we go next week where that ended. That went. That God kept his word. Now, okay, we're going to go in with David. So David then transitioned, Solomon then died, and I don't want to go all into all the details, but it was a battle to get Solomon into the seat, because some of his brothers who were older felt they should jump in it. But, you know, God decides who's going to rule, you know. And the thing about it is, again, it goes back to the body of Christ. I'm sure, even though you had the priesthood back then, you for God to hear your cry for a leader or your family, because he commanded that. When you go back and you read in the book of Deuteronomy and in Leviticus, you'll find that God intended for the men, let the men say amen, to pray for their families and to pray for those in authority, okay? Because we carry the power of God. Now we got the superpower. Now they were doing that without the Holy Spirit in them. How much more should we be able to do that, you know? So there's a transition of power, and Solomon eventually, through some changes, doing what they need to do, Bathsheba managed to get him to the throne of power, and there was a battle over there. So we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and this is very significant because this is something that our leadership in the world today just don't get. They don't get. It's important. You know, I saw a recent candidate potential. He hasn't announced yet. If he does announce, it'll be the first time in a long time that I will actually put a sign in my yard. And if not, I'll probably put his I might even have my vehicle wrapped, because this man knows how to pray. And that I don't vote party. I vote who's going to be the less resistance to God? Who's going to keep the nation blessed? Because if you resist God, if you read the book of Kings, you'll find there were kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord and the country suffered. I've asked God to be surgical. If the president acts up, take him out. You know, let's give us another president. You know, I'm serious. You know, if he want to be an idiot, let him suffer for being an idiot. I don't want to have to suffer for nobody else, you know. But anyway, so David Solomon starts out good, and it says, and Solomon the son of David took a firm grip on the reins of the kingdom as a young man, college grad. God was with him, and he gave him much help. And Solomon addressed all Israel and the commanders and the captains and the judges and every leader and all the heads of the families. Sound like the mob, don't it? And then Solomon and the entire company went to the worship center at Gibeon. That's where the tent of meeting with God was. And the one that Moses, the servant of God, had made in the wilderness. And the chest of God, also known as the ark, and was in Jerusalem, and David brought it up from Kiriath-Jearim and prepared a special place for it and pitched a tent for it. But the bronze altar that Bezalel, son of Uri, and the son of Ur had made was in Gibeon in his place. And the reason they mention all that, you know, there's the Jewish archives that had these guys' name in it that authenticate the Bible. So they have now, they have documentation establishing all this, so it ain't just something that people try to say that they made up. That's why God had them record all these details. But anyway, so I'm going to skip down here to the main issue. This is verse 7. It says, and that night God appeared to Solomon and said, what do you want from me? Ask. And Solomon answered, you were extravagantly generous with David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. Establish, God, the words you spoke to my father, for you have given me a staggering task, ruling this mob of people. Yes, give me wisdom and knowledge as I come and go among this people, for who on his own is capable of leading these, your glorious people? And God answers, Solomon, this is what has come out of your heart. You didn't grasp for money, for wealth, for fame, and the doom of your enemy. You didn't even ask for a long life. You asked for wisdom and knowledge so you could govern well my people over whom I made you king. Because of this, you get what you asked for, wisdom and knowledge, and I'm presenting you the rest as a bonus, money, wealth, and fame beyond anything that kings before or after you had or will have. Now, you want anything from God, start with wisdom. Why? Because then everything that comes after that, you know how to properly use it. That's what wisdom is, proper use of knowledge. You know, one of my former teachers, amen, when he was teaching on that, said that conversation began after Solomon had received his MBA from Israel University. Anyway, okay, what you learn in college is history, not future. Okay, it's a place to begin to see how they did things, but may not work now. That'd be like a guy that built buggy whips trying to sell them at this. He got to set up a place at a car dealership. He trying to sell buggy whips and people driving cars. Believe me, don't think you got your. I met people that think they got the end all to be all when they come out of college. Man, I remember I was in school back in. Then, anyway, and the teacher had us open up the book and look at the copyright. Now, that book was 5 years old, and he said, this is where what they did. And in our time in history, the way technology jumped forward, you really got to be in tune with God to stay with the game, you know. But you really have to, and this is the thing about Solomon. He saw that. He knew it because he already was rich. This is something you don't see right now. I see one of the problems, one of the end-time prophecies to be fulfilled or being fulfilled right now, this thing of businesses having a lack of workers, well, all that is directly connected to leaving God out of the process. They had it all figured out, and then God just God folded his arms. And when Satan saw his arms folded, boom, COVID came, shook the world, stopped everything. Now, and then the government went crazy, so they say, oh, these people, they don't have to work, so they won't. And a lot of them, they went and sat in a college room thinking they was going to come out of there with a skill that would get them a decent job, and they came out of there with nothing. By the time they graduated, the information they had on the first day of graduation was old information. The difference is, like, I thank God for my children, you know, they seek God. And as a result, the God is blessing their lives. Because, see, again, like Solomon, you come out with some old information in a new situation. So you really need a God that's everywhere, anywhere, all the time. Can make a way out of no way, open up doors that are closed. Listen, but you know, it's something strange to me when I find black people, I hate using that term, but anyway, that don't believe in God, we got this far by faith, Jack. I don't care what you think. If you think we got here just because they went to college, we couldn't even get in certain colleges. I remember a friend of mine with the highest grade point average you could have, and they wouldn't let her into college for one reason, the color of her skin. So don't think we broke these doors down by, we didn't have a race war. We didn't set the country on fire. We tried. I mean, for a little while, it lasted about 3 days, but that didn't get it done. That didn't change people's hearts. That didn't make righteous white people come out and stand. That was a major change right there. God did that. He made them stand up. See, and when they started standing up, we stood up together, and look where America is now. Now, Satan is trying to fight that. That's another reason. We have to continue to pray. It ain't over till Jesus come back. You can stop praying when two things happen. Jesus come, the rapture come, or you die. Hey, up until then, you got to lay in. All right? So Solomon connected. Anyway, so now we got this. Solomon, he didn't ask God. Now, it's a particular, what we get here. Solomon asked, when the, hallelujah, where my notes at? Anyway, so Solomon, wisdom for the most part, if you read the book of Proverbs, the proverb of the day, which was written by Solomon, will help you keep the devil away. And that is, you're on this planet. You have to do things in God's way. And it behooves you, because when you do things his way, he's going to help you succeed. But, you know, if you do them your way, then you got to deal with the consequences. And that's what's going on now. That's why nobody, no billion-dollar company, I ain't gonna mention this one company. As much as I admire their will to do things as much as possible God's way, I wrote them and told them this. They're just yet a step further, because we should be leading the way and setting the standard. The reason God is blessing them is because they did take an initiation to close up on Sunday. I think y'all get who I'm talking about. But the fact of the matter is, they still are underpaying people. You know, you cannot put, quote, well, they shareholders. They ain't doing the work. You know, my grandfather was a sharecropper, and the way that worked is if you did the work, then you got some of the you got the profits. All right. So we go into 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16, and it's a famous incident. I heard this as a child. Okay. Anyway, it's one of the most noted stories, and it highlights Solomon's wisdom. Well, yeah, I think we can do this. It says the next thing, two prostitutes showed up before the king. The one woman said, "My master, this woman and I live in the same house. While we were living together, I had a baby. 3 days after I gave birth, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There wasn't anyone else in the house except for the two of us. The infant son of this woman died one night when she rolled over on him in her sleep. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son, and I was sound asleep, mind you, and put him at her breast and put her dead son at my breast. When I got up in the morning to nurse my son, he was this dead baby. But when I looked at him in the morning light, I saw immediately that he wasn't my baby." Believe me, mamas know they baby. You know. "Not so," said the other woman. The living one is mine. The dead one's yours." The first woman countered, "No, your son is the dead one. Mine's the living one." And they went back and forth this way. And the king said, "What are we to do?" The woman said, "The living son is mine and the dead one is yours." And then they keep going back and forth. And then, so this is how Solomon going to resolve this issue. He says in verse 24, he said, "After a moment, the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword to the king. Then he said, cut the living baby in two and give half to one and half to the other. And the real mother of the living baby was overcome with such emotion for her son, she said, oh, no, master, give her the whole baby alive and don't kill him. But the other one said, if you can't have him, I can't have him. Cut away. And the king made a decision. Give the living baby to the first woman. Nobody is going to kill this baby if she is the real mother. I mean, that was really something. And the word got around, and everyone in Israel heard of the king's judgment, and they were all in awe of the king and realizing that it was God's wisdom that enabled the king to judge truly, you know. And, I mean, that's, like I said, that's a known incident. It may not seem like a big deal, but that comes down to this. When you get ready to go buy a new car, make sure you talk to God about it. As to what dealership to buy it from, what deals you should get, whether or not you should wait and believe God for the cash to walk off the lot with a whole car, you know, what year. I mean, you learn. In our case, we have to learn to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And this is why it talks about grieve not the Holy Spirit. We are to learn that process. That's what it is. When Solomon asked God for wisdom, see, now, even though here he didn't know nothing about praying in tongues, and the point is that he gave time for the Holy Spirit to speak to him and as to what to do. And you'll find situations like that. You know, my mother would use that situation, you know, and you get to the truth of the matter. But again, if you listen, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to hear what people don't say, and you'll know the right decision. decision to make. And again, like I say, it's challenging because you're going to have many opportunities to be wrong. Trust me, I've been there, done that. But after a while, you start learning that this is God dealing with me. Because again, you got to also bear in mind that what we are learning in this life is going to be applied in the future. Okay? In the future. Remember, and I know I haven't talked about this in a while, but you're going to have second-gen men that come through the tribulation and third-gen men that left with the rapture or died and became the supernatural spiritual person that God is going to use in relationship to them. I mean, when I think I'm way out there on some stuff, and I thought before I would go out there, I heard another man of God. He said it in a different way. He said, those that survive the tribulation are actually going to be penalized because they won't have made the transition that we have. And they'll still have to deal with some of that. The one thing they won't have to deal with is Satan being on the earth and demons being on the earth. It'll only be angels and us. And they will have, now that's an unknown. Will we be visible? I don't know that part. Will we be? I don't know that part. I don't know that part. Somebody asked, and I don't know that part. I just know that I'll be able to go to Mars at the speed of thought, go to heaven at the speed of thought. I'll be able to travel the universe. I'll finally get to see if there's anything on the bottom of the ocean. But at the same time, there's going to be some relationship between us. I don't know what the extent of that. Jesus will be on the throne physically, visibly, in Jerusalem, ruling the earth, and we will be sent out to do his will, okay? So, but anyway, but in that aspect, for you to get the Holy Spirit, you need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And there's only way to do that, and that is to invite him into your heart. So, we're going to give you that opportunity. All you have to do is say this prayer with me and believe God. And say, Lord God in heaven, I believe you are the true and the living God. I believe the Bible is your word, and I believe that we were all born in sin, as it says. And I ask you right now to forgive me for my sin, and I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved, I am born again, and I am forgiven. It's that easy. It's really that easy. That's what it's amazing. That's so easy that I think, sadly, that a lot of people miss that part. And I'm going to tell you, start talking to your family, friends that you know, that don't know. Just ask them, do they know about the second coming of Christ? I'm finding frequently, as when I go out and Uber, I usually do 2 or 3 days a week, and now that I'm hearing that, people don't know about the second coming, and it is imminent. I'm more aggressive at that aspect, and if they don't want to hear it, just say, okay, I just wanted to know. You ain't got to force it, but pray for them, because if you don't pray for them, God can't intercede. He can't override their will. He can operate on your faith, but he can't override their will until you pray. Then he can send an angel or a Holy Spirit or however he chooses to minister to them to get them the revelation that they need. That's how powerful prayer is. This stuff starts with us. We are very integrally important. So with that, just remember, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom, be at peace, see you next week.
Hello. Oh, wow, you mean all that time I went?
Oh, well.
Won't he do it? 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 Won't he do it?
gon' blow it, but he got me through it. His love, his grace and mercy. At one time the devil cursed me, I was drowning off in my mess. But the Lord, he came and saved me like a damsel in distress. Yeah, now we are living and now we are giving. Blessings are piled to the ceiling. Anointed my head with oil. Now look at my cup, it is spilling. My sins, he picked up the villain. He got all my enemies chilling. He made a way, I won't forget the feeling. I'll do whatever, just ask me, I'm willing. Willing. Yeah.